Our first lesson this evening from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 13th chapter. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For the same reason, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We rise.
Alleluia.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come. But woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven, for the Son of Man came to save the lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly, I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of 2 or 3 witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen, even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our hands and feet, Lord, strengthen. With joy our spirits bless. Until we see the ending of all our life's distress. And so throughout our lifetime keep us within your care. And at our end then bring us to heaven to praise you there. Amen. Now, I don't know if you feel this way when you hear readings like the one we have tonight. Maybe it's just me. But there is always a bit of me, and maybe more than a bit of me, that feels let down when I hear the kind of readings that we did this evening. For example, in our epistle reading, Romans chapter 13, Paul says, "Love each other. Love does no wrong to the neighbor." And to me, that sometimes strikes me as sappy and weak, especially combined with what he said last week when he said, overcome evil with good. And then in our gospel reading, Jesus adds, unless you turn and become like children, whoever humbles himself like this child. And to me, that sounds sentimental and nostalgic. I'm not even going to get started about being subject to the governing authorities, paying taxes. Although if you want to hear more of that, we will talk about it on Wednesday at the midweek service. But as I was saying, whenever I hear this kind of stuff, I wonder, honestly, how this could possibly work in today's world, especially given the kind of pressures that we have among us this year in 2020. And quite frankly, what Jesus says here does not sound like how to become great. I can't help thinking when I hear these things that I want Jesus to say something more grown up, more like we are taking charge, more like doing something serious to root out what it is that is destroying our world today. And then I remember, there is actually a time in our reading this evening when Jesus does speak more athletically. He does talk about cutting off limbs, gouging out eyes. And we say, well, maybe that's it. That's more like it. Maybe that will get the results that we are looking for. We just needed the marching orders straight from Jesus' mouth. But then again, when you look at those verses in the context that Jesus speaks them, he seems to be saying that we should consider taking a sword to our own hands, our own feet, tearing out our own eyes. And looking firstly at our own sins, and then I am disappointed all over again with them. In short, and I don't think I'm the only one, a lot of what Jesus says here, but also elsewhere in the gospel, just does not sit well. We don't see Jesus saying the kind of things that we want him to have said. And so as Christians, where we know we should and do look to the Bible as a guide in our lives, and then we hear the kind of thing that we did tonight, and believe me, it's all over the place. Is it any wonder that every few years the surveys come back and there are fewer and fewer Americans sitting in the pew? You know that there are others who have grown dissatisfied with a Jesus who will not come down where we want him to come down on the subjects that we are dealing with today. And that when the Bible and the church will not provide that kind of talk, people will go off and chase someone else that they think sounds more relevant, someone who speaks to the now. And I can't say that that choice doesn't make a kind of sense. That kind of thing will happen when your dissatisfaction with what Jesus says and what you actually want to be said, when that dissatisfaction grows strong enough, and you will find that church is not really where you see yourself fitting in these days, and that Jesus' non-relevant voice gets softer and softer in the background. And when that happens, you recognize that you don't see the same kind of people that you saw week in and week out, and that you think differently than you did back then. And you recognize you are hanging out in different places, places that are new to you. You might not remember quite how you got there, but I'll tell you, when you get there, it will turn out that whatever it is you thought you were going to find just around the next corner wasn't there, and that it sure seems darker than it did a little while ago. And in our reading tonight, Jesus says plainly, sheep wander. They wander places that they should not go. And he tells us that we are those sheep, but that he is our shepherd. And so he comes out to bring us back. So if you are here tonight, and for the people who are here tomorrow morning, you are here because Jesus has brought you back here, that he has prodded and poked you. He has drawn you back to the fold. And he says that he rejoices when he does this. And part of the problem that we have with readings like the readings that we have today is with the context that Jesus is talking about. We all want to be great. And by that, I think we mean that we want things to go our way in the world as a reflection of our greatness and as a reflection of the words that Jesus speaks tonight do not seem to get there. And when we realize that, what you have realized is completely and utterly correct. Jesus is not telling us here how to be great in the world. He says specifically he is talking about being great in the kingdom of heaven. And those are two entirely different things. For those who want things in this world to just settle down and go right, go the way that you want them to, I have to tell you, Jesus promises nothing like that. He gives you no such path to that. It is clear from the scriptures that Jesus is not worried about things working in today's world the way that we often worry. Instead, much of the scriptures sound like Jesus gathering his flock to follow him as he winds a path through this world towards some better place. It's not a path that shuns the world, and yet he does warn us repeatedly about being drawn away from him, about being pulled out of the flock, about being attracted to the desires of the world, desires like power and control, desires of competition and coming out on top and getting what we want. That kind of desire will always find Jesus' words unsatisfying. Because, as I said, that is not what Jesus is talking about. That is not what Jesus is after for himself. That is not what he is after for his church. Jesus is after his Father's will being done. And so he wants us to follow him to his cross, to his grave, and through those things to life. And so he goes, he tells us that we should go the way that he tells us to go. And there are two special ways that I wanted to point out in our reading today, and it has to do with how we regard ourselves and how we regard others. And number one, Jesus says about ourselves that we are to turn and become like children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, unless you humble yourselves like that, you will find yourself ending at some other destination. And thus, just as children do what their parents tell them to do, we are to go where Jesus tells us to go. We are to listen to and learn what he teaches us. And we are to speak the way that he speaks, eat what it is that he feeds us, and have our goals, our desires, shaped by him. And he says tonight, this includes being very blunt about our own sins, about our own faults. I wanted to point out how Jesus says that we should regard and relate to others, especially those who are in the church. And despite the talk earlier, this is something that is absolutely relevant for us here, now, in 2020. Note how Jesus tells us to regard other Christians. He says that we should regard them as children of God, as little ones in the faith, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and as people who, when they wander, are to be brought back into fellowship and rejoice over when they do that. And that is not at all what the world is telling you these days. The world at this time wants you to see others as ideas more so than actual people. They want you to see them as Democrat or Republican, as black or white, as for or against. And I tell you that if you stoop to this, it will not only affect how you think about them, it will affect how you treat and act towards them, and in response, how they think and respond and act to you. And Jesus tells us, in the church, this must not be. You cannot look around here and think of people firstly as gullible or stupid. You cannot look at them and see them first as unloving or as a disease carrier, as a communist or a cowboy, as some idea that you have in your head that you are against. Doing so will alienate you from them, it will alienate them from you, and it will not draw This should be true outside the church as well, but especially inside. We need to regard others not as ideas, but as people. And undoubtedly, as people, they are sinners. But they are sinners like us. Sinners like us who need to come again to Jesus and hear the healing words of his forgiveness. Sinners who, like us, need to come to him and eat what he feeds us here this evening, to follow where he leads. And where he leads is the kingdom of heaven, not some greater worldly kingdom. And if we do that, if we listen to him, we will see that our path follows his, which, as we heard him say last week, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that path, that cross, is not a path of one great enjoyable thing after another. That is a path of humiliation. It is a path ultimately ending in death. But it is also the path through the grave to resurrection in the eternal kingdom of the Son. May that be our goal in a world full of dead ends. Amen.